Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands right where you're at. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is in this place, moving from side to side and front to back. Lord, your anointing is here meeting with us. It's removing yokes of bondage. It is bringing encouragement. It's stirring up hope in hopeless situations. We are here to meet with you. We're thankful for the fellowship. We're thankful for the friendship that we have with our church family, but we are here to meet with you. We receive what you have for us, Lord, tonight. May we leave changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. It's always an honor to be here at Three Trees and to see what God is doing through you and in you and because of you. And I leave here always with my heart full, with inspiration, with three or four ideas to steal. You think I'm joking? I'm not. And I am thankful for the friendship and the encouragement that I have in your pastor and his family, wonderful man of God. You are in truly one of the greatest churches in America. And let there be no doubt about that. And you're following a tremendous, tremendous man of God and woman of God, and you are in a safe place. Don't be worried. You are in a safe place. And God, through your pastor, is leading you to greatness. And lean in, serve, give, invite, pray, receive, and encourage, because y'all are in a move of God. And I'm excited for the future of what God has for you. If you have your Bible, I want to direct your attention tonight for a few moments to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. If you have your Bible, if you have a device that has the scripture on it, if you don't have any of that, I believe we'll have it on the screens for you. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, reading down through verse number 12. I want to talk to you for a little bit tonight about embracing the broken. Anybody ever been broken at some point in your life? Your heart's been broken. Your dreams have been broken. Relationships broken. Finances broken. Walk with God, broken. Maybe you are there right now. Maybe you are teetering on the point, on the brink of that. I believe God has something to say to us tonight. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7 says, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell down to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'He's alive.' Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted." Luke is telling us, he's the author of the book of Acts, and he's telling us about ministry that has taken place in the town of Troas. The apostle Paul has arrived to town, and all of the believers of the city have gathered to hear the man of God preach. And it's in that setting that we are introduced to a young man named Eutychus. Eutychus is in the prime of his life. And it's believed that Eutychus was born again and received Christ the first time that Paul came through Troas. And now that Paul is back, and everyone knows that he's only going to be here a short time, and this is very likely the last time they'll ever get to see Paul in person. They may read letters. They will hear stories. But this is likely the last time you're ever going to see Paul in the flesh. Everyone's jammed into the room, into this upper chamber, this guest quarters of a church building to hear what Paul has to say. Eutychus is determined not to miss a single night of Paul's revival in his hometown. Paul's heart must have also been heavy for the people as he's preaching. If you read and you followed the scripture, Paul preached for 10 to 12 hours that night. Don't ever say that Pastor Eric gets long-winded. Paul preached 12 hours. Paul preaches. And while Paul is preaching that night, something tragic happens to our young man, Eutychus. He gets distracted. The story moves and transitions from Paul's preaching and a town that is hungry to hear the word of God and a young man that is there and present in the service, and the story, the narrative transitions to him sitting in a windowsill. But I want you to notice when this happens. It happens, the Bible says, during the time of the breaking of bread. During the time of fellowship and the word of God. During the time of getting to the table. Everybody else is at the table, and Eutychus is distant from the table. Eutychus is distracted from the table. Eutychus is at the window. The enemy is actively trying to keep you distracted from the table. The enemy is actively trying to get you too busy to have time to get to the table. Too busy to get fed from the bread of the Word of God. Too busy to gather together with the family of God and have your heart warmed by the fellowship of God's people, to have your bones strengthened from the meat of the Word of God, to have your soul nourished from the milk of the Word of God, for you to be able to draw communion from the cup of the wine of the blood of Jesus Christ, for your sins to be atoned and repent. The enemy will do anything he can to get you too distracted and too busy and too disheartened to get together at the table. Come on, Eutychus. It's table time. Now, I saw something happening out there, out the window. I got to go see what's going on. There's more important things to do than to be at the table. Eutychus gets distracted, and in his distraction, he sees a window. It's not just a window. It's a window of opportunity. There's a window that's carved out in the third story. There's a window that's been cut out in the upper level, the top tier of this worship gathering. There's a window. I need somebody to understand tonight that the enemy's architects are cutting out a window of opportunity no matter where you are at right now in your walk with God. I may be talking to some people tonight that you're saying, Pastor Rich, I've never been closer to God than I am right now. There's still a window of opportunity being cut out for you. You're saying, my prayer life is stronger and closer and warmer to God, and I sense the presence of God like never before in my life. There's a window of opportunity
that's being cut out for you. You're saying our marriage has never been closer than it is right now. There's a window of opportunity that's being cut out for you. My finances, there's more blessing, there's more room, there's more margin, there's more blessing of God in my, there's a window of opportunity that's being cut out just for you right now. There's a window of opportunity that hell is cutting out for every single one of us in this room. What do you do with it? David's wife, Michal, looked out the window of despise at David. King Saul's window was disobedience. Judas's window was greed. Demas's window was loving this present world. We all have a window that the enemy is cutting out so that you not only will get distracted, but that you will then become distant. In this room, the Bible says this, it's very intentional. There were many, many lanterns in the room. There are many lanterns in the room. Why is that so important that you know that the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to tell you there are many lanterns in the room? Because the only source of illumination, the only source of heat that they had was that the people in the church had to bring the lanterns with them. If there was going to be fire in the room, the people had to bring it with them. The room did not automatically generate the heat and the fire and the illumination. The people had to bring the lanterns from their house and carry it into the church. If there was going to be any fire in the church, the people had to bring the fire from the house with them. And Luke's letting you know, here's what kind of church this was that we were in up there in Troas, was there was a whole lot of fire in the church because everybody brought it from the house with them. I want you to stop and think for a moment, what would happen if everybody in Three Trees Church brought the fire with them? What would happen if everybody, when you left home tonight, you didn't say, I hope the worship team brings the fire. I hope whoever's going to preach brings the fire. I hope Pastor brings the fire. I hope Pastor Jason brings the fire. What would happen if before you left your house, you said, I'm going to make sure I bring the fire. If ain't nobody else got the fire, I'm going to make sure I got the fire. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I don't need the singer to have the fire. I'm going to bring the fire for me. I don't need the campus pastor to have the fire. I'm going to bring the fire for me. I'm not going to be at the mercy of somebody else quoting my favorite scripture, shaking my hand the right way, singing my favorite song, and making me feel some kind of way. I'm going to make sure I got the fire burning inside of me, because somebody, somewhere is going to need somebody to have brought some fire to church. Luke said, we're up in that church house, and there's a whole lot of lanterns. There's a whole lot of people done brought some fire to church. You know something? It got unpopular to bring fire to church. Now, we got more concerned about bringing comfort than fire. And Luke said, I just want to let you know what's going on. Here's how, Lord have mercy, we about to step into something tonight. Here's how come Paul can preach for 12 hours. Everybody brought the fire. Could it be that we start thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? Oh, my God, my show comes on, the ball game. Don't he know it's Sweet 16 going on in Lexington? Because you ain't brought no fire. Luke said, I want to let you know what's going on. It's a room full of fire. It's a room full of fire. Everybody, all kinds of people have brought fire with them to church. Stop waiting for other people to get fired up. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're waiting on your wife to get fired up. You're saying, I'd really get on fire for God if my husband would get fired up. Stop waiting. I'd really get on fire for God if my BFF would get fired up. Stop waiting. I'd really get on fire for God. You know, if the people I go to school with, they get on fire, that'd make me feel more comfortable. I get on fire. No, just bring your lantern. You don't have to bring enough fire for everybody on your row. You don't have to bring enough fire for your husband and your kids and your mom and them and everybody. Just bring enough fire for you, and here's what's going to happen. Somebody's got to be the spark. Somebody's got to be the person that says, I'm tired of trying to worship God in the dark. I'm trying to worship God in the cold. I'm trying to act like I'm close with God, and I'm living in a cold place with no fire. I'm going to start a fire right here in my heart. I'm going to start a fire right here in my walk with God. It's a room full of fire. But now, here's the interesting thing. Everybody else is close to the flame. Everybody else is close to the table. And here's Eutychus sitting on the window. The window has become a place of distance and coldness. It's possible for you to be cold in a room full of fire. It's possible for you to be distant in a place of intimacy. It's possible for you to be disconnected in a place full of fellowship. And here they are. He's in the right room, but in the wrong place. He's in the right room, but in the wrong place. He's present, but he's also absent. He's there, but he's also distant. And here they are in a fiery church service, and here's a young man who gets up and walks away from the flame. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but God orchestrated this moment for me to be able to look somebody in this room in the eye and tell you, stay close to the flame. Stay close to the table. There's some things in your life right now that is competing for your attention. It is wooing you away from the table and from the flame. And God brought me out of the mountains to tell you tonight, stay close to the flame. Eutychus goes to the window. And he climbs up in the window. And something strange happens. He falls asleep. He falls asleep. Maybe it was the heat of the room with all those lanterns. Maybe it was the smell of all the oil that was burning. Maybe it was the length of Paul's sermon. But there was something where there is a dichotomy happening in the room. Everybody else is leaning in, and Eutychus is leaning out. Everybody else is caught up, and Eutychus is about to be caught out. You can have a spiritual warfare going on in a church service. And here's the lie. Well, if our church was more like this, I'd be more fired up. If our preacher was more like this, hey, it's Paul. It's Paul. Dude wrote the Bible. Called up to the third heaven. It's Paul. Could it be that it ain't all the things you're saying it is? Could it be that it's not, well, I wish we did more of this kind of music.
I wish we were more like that. I wish we were there.
Could it be any of that stuff you're trying to say that it is? Could it be that it's a battle that's going on right in here, and it ain't all the other stuff that we try and point out? Well, you know, if they were more like this, and if they treated me like that, and if I was more pampered, and if I got more attention, and if it was more about me, and if I was really the idol, and if I was worshipped, and if it was how great I am instead of how great thou art. No. Could it be that it ain't all of that kind of stuff, that there's some distance and some coldness and some distraction that's going on in your heart, that the B-I-B-L-E tells us even if your pastor was Paul, you're still going to be distracted. He falls asleep in his place of distance, in his place of distraction. The arms of Satan belch up from out of hell, wrap themselves around young Eutychus, and sing him a lullaby song. And that's where so much of the church is at right now. He's carrying his Bible, but he's asleep. He's on a church pew on Sunday morning, but he's asleep. He's on a serve team, but he's asleep. He's in a group, but he's asleep. He's singing on the team, but he's asleep. He's acting the part, but he's asleep. He shares scriptures on Facebook, but he's asleep. That's the condition of many Christians today. We've gotten so comfortable in the world, we've fallen asleep. We've gotten so comfortable with sin, we've fallen asleep. We've gotten so comfortable in the love of the world and the affections of the world that we've fallen asleep. I want you to hear me tonight. If the devil can't get you to sin, he's perfectly happy to get you to fall asleep. If he can't push you out, he's perfectly happy to rock you to sleep, to where you're still there, you're still counted, you're still seen, you're still present, you're still accounted for, but your spirit's not on fire anymore. It's been rocked to sleep. You're not hungry for God anymore. You've been rocked to sleep. You're not passionate for the presence anymore. You've been rocked to sleep. You're not trying to get your friends and your family saved and born again in the family anymore. You've been rocked to sleep. You're comfortable and conditioned and sanitized and domesticated. You're not a warrior in the kingdom of God. You've been perfectly sat down and are this enemy's pet, and he's got you asleep. There's Eutychus, asleep. Friend, look at what's going on in the world. Look at the condition of our culture. Now's not the time for the church to sleep. Now's the time to advance. This is not the time for the church to go sit down in a corner and be quiet. This is the church for the Lion of the Tribe of Judah to roar. This is not the time for us to worry about not offending the world. This is the time for us to realize that we are salt and we are light and we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It's time for you to rise up, for you to wake up, and for you to realize you have been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. There's so much purpose on you. There's so much destiny on you. There's so much anointing on you. The devil couldn't destroy you, so he did the next best thing, and that was to rock you to sleep. But this is your wake-up call. The alarm is sounding, and God's rattling your cage and saying, wake up, O thou sleeper. It's time to arise. Slap the person next to you and tell them, wake up. Stop saying God ain't speaking to you. He's speaking, you just been asleep. Stop saying God ain't blessing me. He's blessing, you just been asleep. Stop saying God ain't opening doors for you. He's been doing it, you just been asleep. But tonight you're waking up. It's already happening in here. You're waking up. What you've been comfortable with, you won't be comfortable with anymore. What you've been accepting the enemy doing in your life, you won't accept anymore, because you're waking up. Eutychus proves you can't sleep on the seal forever. You're going to fall one of two ways. You're going to fall back in love with God, or you're going to fall out into the world. Maybe he got uncomfortable. Maybe he got too comfortable. But Eutychus shifted. Eutychus turned. Eutychus rolled over. And he fell. He fell out into the dark, cold road below. No matter how lofty your spiritual position, there's still a danger of falling. No matter how much fire is in your church, there's still the danger of falling. No matter how mighty your man of God, there's still the danger of falling. No matter how much hunger for the word there is all around you, no matter how much access to a table that you have, there's still the danger of falling. We wonder, how do people who have been on fire for God and active and leaders in the church end up falling out of love with the Lord and falling out of the church and falling back into sin? How does it happen? It happens because they got distracted. It happens because they got distant. It happens because they grew cold and they fell asleep. Eutychus falls and he lays on the ground, and somebody runs up in the middle of the gathering and they say, "Stop the singing! Stop the preaching! Eutychus has fallen. Eutychus, who loved Paul, is dead." What do you do if you're Paul? What do you do if you're that leader? What do you do if you're that small group leader? What do you do if you're that ministry team leader? What do you do if you're that parent, that grandparent, that husband, that best friend, and somebody fell out of your life? What do you do when somebody you've invested in, somebody you've loved, somebody you've cared for, somebody you gave time to, somebody you gave ministry to, and they fell away out of your life? What do you do? Here's what Paul did. Even though Eutychus fell from Paul's ministry, Paul still embraced him. Paul stopped in the middle of his 12-hour sermon. And he ran down 3 flights of stairs, and he goes out to the dark street of Troas, and he sees there in the mud and the manure, and he sees a broken young man. And listen to what he does. The Bible says that he laid down, he got in the mud, he got in the manure, and he stretched his arms out around the boy, and in a moment, life came back into him. The power of Paul's embrace was this: every broken bone was healed and life was instantly restored to him. I want to tell somebody tonight, never underestimate the power of your embrace to somebody that is broken. Never underestimate the power of your time and your care and your love to somebody that, yes, they got distracted. Yes, they got cold. Yes, they got distant. Yes, they fell asleep. But God has you strategically placed in their life that in their brokenness, you can be the arms and the feet and the love of Jesus. Embrace them. Embrace them. You can love life back into them. You can bring healing to the broken places in their life. God has put you in the path of a broken person, not for you to step on them, but for you to heal them. If you are if you work in the beauty shop, God's put you in the path of a broken person, not for you to judge them, for you to heal them. You're a school teacher. God's put you in the path of a broken family for you to heal them. You're working in construction. God's put you in the path of a broken contractor, a broken plumber, a broken electrician, not for you to be there and say, "How did you do this? Why would you do that? How could you be like this?" No, no, no. God's made you Paul in that moment, that in their brokenness, Love them. Love them. Healing came through a hug. He loved the life back in him. Can I tell you tonight, Paul is a picture of Jesus? Jesus left the third heaven like Paul left the third loft, saturated with the glory and the praise of God. And Jesus came down and walked the dark roads of this earth, walking through the muck and the mire and the manure of the human existence. Jesus stretched out his arms on an old rugged cross and embraced every broken man, every broken woman, and he loves the life back into us. I want to speak a word for a moment to every Eutychus that is in the room, every Eutychus that is listening, every Eutychus that is watching, every Eutychus who is broken. I want to let you know Jesus is here tonight. Judgment is not here tonight. Jesus is here tonight, and he is here to step into your brokenness. He's here to step into your hurting situation. He's here to step into the coldness of your heart. He's here to step into your regret. He's here to step into your failure, your embarrassment, and to wrap his arms around you and to love the life back into you and to tell you, you may have fallen, but you can get back up. You may be broken, but you can be healed. You may be cold, but you can be warmed back up by the fire of God. Eutychus wakes up, opens his eyes, and what does he do? Goes back to church. Bible says they go back up to the upper room. They go back up to the meeting house. He said, I'm going back to church. Paul, give me the microphone. I got something to say. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was blind, but now I see. I was broken, but I'm back. That's going to be somebody's testimony in Russell Springs. I was broken, but now I'm back. That's going to be somebody's testimony in Campbellsville. I was broken, but now I'm back. I fell asleep, but now I'm awake. God wrapped his arms around me and brought me back. Eutychus. What a weird name. Anybody expecting a baby? I'm just going to offer that as a suggestion. The name Eutychus means fortunate or second chance. It was prophesied over him before he even knew he needed it. God provided your second chance before you even knew you needed it. Thank you, Jesus. God prepared. This church is not just about buildings, songs, and sermons. When God spoke to your pastor however many years ago to launch a church, he was preparing your second chance before you even knew you needed it. That you might encounter a people who could love the life back into you. And right where you're seated, if you would, just bow your heads. If we could come back to the music for a moment. There's a Eutychus here. It doesn't matter the details. It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter why. What matters is this. The Spirit of God is here, meeting you at your broken place. And telling you, you don't have to stay there. You can get back up. This is your resurrection moment. This is the moment of your personal revival. Your name may be Fred, but it's Eutychus. It might be Martha, but tonight it's Eutychus. Your last name of your family may be Johnson, but tonight it's Eutychus. You are the fortunate. You don't feel fortunate. You say, preacher, if you knew the last 6 months of my life, it wouldn't be fortunate. No, you're fortunate that in the midst of all the pain and the brokenness and the mess and the muck and the regret and the shame, God is here. And he's saying, come on, get up. Get up. Get up, not in your own strength, not in your own power, but in his. And so I want to ask you tonight, if you say, preacher, God's speaking to me tonight, and I know in my bones that I'm Eutychus, and I need the power of the Lord to give me a resurrection and a second chance. I want you to just stand up right where you're seated. Just stand up as a way of an acknowledgement to the Lord. God, you're speaking to me tonight, and I know that I'm Eutychus, and I'm going to get up. And as you stand up right where you're seated, you stand up. This is just you saying, this is me getting back up. Praise God. I know there's others. This is me getting back up. Yeah. I'm not going to lay here anymore. I'm not going to stay in this condition anymore. This is me getting up. I'll not be defined by my brokenness. I'll not be defined by my slumber. I'll not be defined by my coldness. I'll be defined by my resurrection. I'll be defined. The story of my life will not be how I fell. It will be how I got back up. That's it. That's it. That's it.